You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Hello, Miami Dolphins. Welcome to a very special DolphinsTalk.com podcast. You see the man, he needs no introduction, legendary Miami Dolphins wide receiver number 81, or Jimmy Duffy. How are you, sir?
Man, Sarge, I'm good, man. How you doing, bro?
Can't complain here. Can't complain. Schedule tease day. You got all these games trickling out, Juice. I can't wait for the main event tomorrow when this thing goes live. What's going on your end?
Not too much, man. I'm excited about that as well. I do expect our Dolphins to get a lot of love because there's a lot of excitement in Miami, man. And I think the rest of the world wants to see it. So hopefully the schedule gods will do us a solid, man, and give us some good exposure. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I hope you, from your mouth to God's ears. And right now, what we know is that we're going to be Thursday night hosting the Buffalo Bills. So now that we know that, it was tweeted out, the Thursday night schedule. What are your thoughts about hosting the Bills early with no sun?
You know, I'm excited about it. Anytime we get a chance to play those guys early, it's still going to be hot. We know South Florida could be 8, 9 o'clock at night that time of year. It's still going to be humid out there. Only problem is, you know, a four-day break? Is it 4 days after the game before that? That's the only thing I don't like. But I think that no matter what, man, anytime you get a chance to play the Bills down here early in the year, it's good for us. Because, you know, honestly, if we play them late in the season like we did last year, kind of a, you know, neutral playing field. So I'm okay with us playing them early this year at home.
I like that. Trust me, for someone who knows that humidity and the heat, when I go down there, it's different. It is different than what us Northeasterners are used to. Different.
Right next to the sun, it seems like here, bro.
Sure. And you know what? That actually segues nicely. We'll do a little schedule chat of what's coming later. But in fact, Northeast is something you know from, obviously, you're an Ohio dude, but you went to school at Penn State and you share a similarity as a first round Dolphin drafted Penn State Nittany Lion to Chop Robinson, the 21st overall pick of the Miami Dolphins. What are your thoughts?
Man, you know, I love Chop. You know, I've watched him grow up, you know, in Penn State. So ironic that we were drafted 31 years to the day in the first round to the Miami Dolphins. And I'm definitely excited about him coming down here. I know what kind of player he is. I know what kind of person he is. His work ethic is second to none. He's got some great guys to learn from. And he's a humble dude, man. But he's going to make some plays. Everybody talks about the numbers he did make at Penn State. But look at the attention that other teams paid to him at Penn State, and other guys were able to go out there and eat. So he's built for the NFL. He really is. Size, speed, athleticism. And you can't have too many great pass rushers, you know, Sarge, man. So I'm excited to see what he does down here. And I know he's pumped to be down here.
I can take a guess that you've probably watched 99.9% of Penn State snaps. So if you could direct a Dolph fan to tape a game, something to go check out 44. And that would be basically the overall tell of what you're getting. Or even if it's like a whole couple of games, what would you direct a moment of the season to Chop Robinson's film?
Oh, man, you know what? I don't know. You know, I think that's a great question because, like, I wouldn't know each game individual efforts that he's had. The Dolphins have looked at and studied a lot more film than I have when it comes to him. But, you know, like I said, everybody's talking about the numbers or numbers that aren't there. But look at his ability and agility. I mean, that's where you got to look at with him. Chop, when we played against other teams, man, there's a lot of attention paid to him. There really was, and I think that's also a key. You know, if you got a cornerback that doesn't have any interceptions, when you look at the game, it's because they weren't throwing his way. You know, it's kind of the same thing with Chop. They he, teams paid a lot of attention to what Chop was doing.
I like that analysis because it's going to send me to look at who's benefiting from exactly what you just said. Or how is he helping the team? It might not be the statistic, but it's who gets that statistic, who's getting like that hockey assist. You know, it's like the second person who passes it, so on and so forth. Absolutely. So moving on, you know, we'll skip around in the draft a little bit because I know you were probably happy with not just one, but two wide receivers, and one of them can return kicks. That reminds me of somebody. I don't know. But what are your thoughts there on the Washington boys?
Yeah, I like the Washington guys, man. You know, I think, you know, we'll see what happens, man. It's pretty amazing, though, when you have Jalen Waddle and you have Tyreek Hill and you also have, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. I love Eric Ezekama and those guys and River Craycraft, Berrios. We got so many guys. But when you go out there and get two young guys out there and Malik Washington and Taj Washington, man, I think that it's just going to be a great fit for us. No matter what, you need young talent out there. You need guys that can come in there and learn from these older guys. Look, our starting couple of receivers aren't babies anymore. So it's good to have some guys in there. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Malik can do. I really am. I mean, both Washingtons are going to be solid players, I think. But Malik, I think, is a guy that can go out there and do a lot of big things for us.
Now, you came into the league and you returned punts. You know, you were on special teams and you made a huge impact right away. This year, there's this new kickoff rule, as I'm sure you know. Yeah. So if you were mentoring returners and you could know, or if you've learned like kind of the nuance of the rules, would it benefit one of these guys? Does Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer have something up their sleeves collectively with one of these rookies or another player on this team, maybe running back Jalen Wright, from a return standpoint? Because I'm fascinated with someone's going to figure it out, OJ. Who is it?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about it. So, I mean, no matter what, you know, if these guys want to play early, because we talked about the guys that are going to be in front of them, special teams is the way to go. Some way, getting into the return game any way you can. Kickoff return more for, you know, the running back. Punt return a lot of times for the wide receivers. You know, and I think that's the best way to get on the football field early. I did that for most of the first year here. Didn't touch the field pretty much as on offense until towards the end of the year. Then I got more run the next year, and then I was starting the following year after that. So I think special teams is always the way for every rookie. I don't care. Even Chop. Chop's got to figure out a way, you know, to get in there on special teams. I mean, no matter what pick you are, no matter where you're at, if you're UDFA, you've got to find a way to get on that field, and usually it starts with teams.
I absolutely love that. Special teams is just an area of the field. I think that it's like, where's the dog? But it could be the underdog, and that's where you're going to make your name for it. And we've seen it in the undrafteds that have been coming through the ranks here. We'll jump into that. But to sprinkle around, you know, the rest of the wide receiver talk here, you were a slot extraordinaire. You're almost kind of like one of the first guys to really kind of make that a thing almost. Now, Malik Washington, let's talk about him as that ability to play that specific role and why that might be a home run pick, because, you know, you got two outside guys, you got the one and the 1A. How does that hit of the letter of receiver? You know what I mean? How does that work?
Yeah, man, you know what? It's a position that, you know, requires a lot of quickness, a lot of smarts, you know, and it's also attention to detail. There's so much that goes on in the slot that, you know, that you have to pay attention to right away. I always talk about the three things you have to do. You know, you get your assignment, your alignment, and then your adjustments. So once you get the assignment, you go out there, you got your alignment. Now you got to make so many adjustments as motion happens, shifts happen, defenses like try to show you different things and then take it away. So the sooner he can pick up things like that, the more opportunities he will get out there, man. But the talent's there, obviously. You know, you don't go out and get a guy, you know, in the draft, not a UDFA or somebody that's just, you know, you're picking up off the streets, but you got a guy in the draft that you count on to go out there and make this roster. So that's where you know, that's where it's going to be important for us to see what he can do. I know that training camp, I know they just had the rookie camp, but training camp is going to be critical when you get the older guys out there, the vets out there. And the key to all this, Sarnie, is how quickly can you pick up this complicated system?
I like how you brought up the system because, you know, you're on Twitter, you see the socials, Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback Chase Daniels, I don't know if you saw, was showing the playbook, you know, showing the nuance, the cadence, the everything that comes to the install. So you're absolutely right. Yeah, we don't know how a lot of these guys can translate skill to learning education classroom stuff. So I'm going to be fascinated with that. To go through the draft class, you know, you played with one of the best left tackles for my money and everyone's money in the game, let alone Dolphin, in Richmond Webb. We got a drafted second rounder in Patrick Paul from Houston. What do you know? What do you like? And I mean, everyone's looking for the next. Everyone's looking for the next. The next Richmond Webb ain't walking through the door. No. But are we close?
Well, you know what? You got a big guy. He's athletic. He's raw. And I really do like the fact that they say even when he messes up, he still is athletic enough to recover. So now imagine his athleticism with not messing up. You know, I see the upside is going to be pretty impressive for a guy this size, this athletic, and I'm excited about it. I really am. I mean, you have to address the offensive line. I'm always a guy that thinks that when it comes to NFL football, you want some grown men, you know, on the offensive line and defensive line. And so that's why I don't mind going out and exploring a bunch of free agent guys. But you do have to get some young guys in there along the way that you can develop, that you can get out there and make those guys your cornerstones. I mean, what Austin Jackson has done on the right side so far has been outstanding. Now, you know, after Armstead, if we can have, you know, this young guy come in and replace him eventually, then we got a nice little, you know, corners. We got two, you know, end pieces that'll be spectacular for us for years to come. And I think that's always important.
Well said there. And the fun part about the draft, I think, you know, there was that gap in between that initial second round pick and what was booked as a fifth rounder. And then for anyone who says sleepy Chris Greer, wake up, because this guy's always working. He makes a call, calls up his buddy, Howie Roseman, in Philly, and brings in maybe a top two or three running back in the class, Juice, in Jalen Wright, and speed, got good hands out of the backfield. What are your thoughts about the Tennessee running back?
Yeah, well, you know what? You know, I love the speed automatically. That's one thing, man. And then, you know, I love the fact that you find these guys. We know this, Sarnie, that most of the guys that are going to be great in this league are guys you get in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. Those guys end up obviously being some of the best players on your team. And then you look at, you know, the need thing. So it's the same thing I talk about with the wide receivers and going out and get some young wide receivers when you got older guys. Of course, Raheem Mostert's having, you know, a career last couple of years with us. And of course, Devon Achane have been outstanding for us. But I don't mind going out there and getting another young dog out there. You know, somebody to go out there and learn. You got to keep restocking that pantry, bro. And I think this is a great one that, you know, have that fits this type of player we want at that position. Obviously the speed, like we talked about, man, but I think Jalen Wright is one of those guys that could be that guy for us when we move on from other guys. Just, you can never have too much speed and athleticism and talent, you know, in these skill positions.
And it brings me to something that I love talking about. You know, I love talking about this with you, is the correlation of, you know, the past Dolphins such as yourself and kind of making a comparison to what they are now. And I see this triple-headed monster of a backfield, much like 93, 94, 95, with what the Dolphins had with a number of very good running backs with a mixture of talent. Like you had your Bernie Parmalee's, you know, your Terry Kirby's, your Keith Byers. You know, there was a sprinkle of really almost everything. You put them together, and it's one heck of a backfield. The Dolphins have done that in their history, and I think that they're kind of doing that again. So, you know, do you mind? Do you care with who's the workhorse, or just what are your thoughts on distribution of workload?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't feel there will be a workhorse, and that's just the way the running back position has become. It's a by committee thing, and I think that this committee is a pretty damn good one. We saw what Achane did as a rookie. We saw what Mostert does, has been doing for the last couple of years, and my goodness, man, you bring in another young guy that might not get as many touches or opportunities as he'd like early. But at the same time, though, like you said, we can't have too many. And then you look at who's going to be the guy we want for 2-minute offense. Who's the guy we want to want for 5-minute offense when we're trying to, you know, run it down the throats and put a game away. So different guys do different things well, but all of them have the same thing in common, and that's a lot of speed.
Just to give a proper shout out to my guy, Terry Kirby, Rigo. He did lead the Dolphins his rookie year in receptions out of the backfield, yeah, with Dan Marino throwing. So with all due respect to my guy, TK, let's call it the way it is. So move, Drew, sorry, that's the fan coming out of me, man. But now that we go to, I think we're at the fifth round, with who I think this was the jump out of the chair pick. This, if I had to scream to the top of the heavens to get this guy, it's Mo Kamara. And I think that this is, I've heard Cameron Wake, I've heard Brian Cox. I mean, give me something half of that and you're unbelievable right now.
I think so too, man. And what I do like about him right now, he's upset about his draft status. You know what I mean? He's mad where he went. And so I think that that hunger and that dog might be a blessing for us. And, you know, I mean, honestly, you get an opportunity to go in the NFL no matter what, man. It's a, you know, there's only less than 1% of guys in this country that'll be able to get an opportunity. But I like it. I love comparisons. But you know what? I always take drafts and I look at them. I'm like, why are we grading this draft until I can see somebody go out there and play against grown men? And I know some of these guys played at your Michigans, your Ohio States, your Penn States, and whatever, and playing against some grown men. Now you're playing with some real grown men. You know, I mean, that's the biggest difference right there, Sarnie. I mean, honestly, you know, every weekend you go out in college, you're not playing against guys that are going to be in the pros. Now every single day you go out there and practice, you're playing against pros. Every single game is going to be against pros. So we'll see, you know, how it stacks up, man. But I love his hunger. I love his attitude. I love how he's not happy about where he went to draft. And so hopefully that translates into some big plays for us on the football field.
The number that he had chosen is 50-5-0. So I don't know if that's a subliminal message to say I'm a fifth rounder. But if you think I'm ever getting less than five sacks, you're out of your mind. That's just the way I'm seeing it.
Like
we're going to talk. We're going to talk a little numbers, Juice, because I have a lot. I have a lot of thoughts about the numbers in sport in the NFL. But just to finish up the draft, Patrick McMorris, safety from California. What do you know about him? What do you know about his type of style of play?
Yeah, I don't know much, honestly, about him. I usually try to stay on the offensive side of the ball. You know, that's the best, obviously the best side of the ball in football, and all 11 receivers on the football field is the best option for most football teams. If you can go that route.
If a couple can block, I'm with you.
Well, yeah. I'm just, you know, hell, some can and most can't. So, but I love his size, man. I mean, I do at safety position, you know, it's sitting around 6 foot, 210 or something like that. And I think I just don't know Anthony Weaver's system yet. So I don't know how guys are going to fit. And that might be the key, you know. Maybe this is a guy that's a really good, you know, scheme fit for what we want to do defensively this year. And again, you know, we got Javon Holland, of course, and Poirier out there, and you just always need to have some young depth. I think Nick Needham might get some run at safety. So I think it's going to be important to see how a young guy can come in there, fit in the system. But again, a young guy that's going to have to, you know, is going to have to grind it out on teams going into the season, I think.
If you don't mind, Juice, here we got a question direct. Let's bring up Garrett Grimes. You know, I'll read it to you. If Mike, if you could throw it on up there, if you don't mind, my man. Does OJ think Taj Washington would have a realistic chance to unseat Braxton Berrios as the kickoff punt return guy?
That's a great question. I haven't seen him yet. You know, like I said, Braxton Berrios has had some really good years in the pros doing both. So, like I said, you get young guys in. I got to see them in action with pro players in order to figure it out. All these guys, they're talented. They wouldn't be in the NFL. They wouldn't be on the NFL roster if they weren't talented. So, and they've all got a chance, but don't think that Braxton's just going to give it up easily. Braxton's going to be out there busting his tail, showing these young guys how to work. And, you know, if they work hard, they'll get opportunities, and we'll see. We'll go from there.
Berrios, tough player. You always see him kind of bang play, catch, hit, gets right up, do it again, even on special teams. So that would be a tall order for the rookie seventh rounder. But I like what you said, Juice. You got to get on the field. You got to show it with those grown veteran players. So any undrafted free agents kind of making waves, no pun intended, in Dolphin land, you know, any of those guys might have a shot at the 53?
You know, I don't know, man, but I do have a personal interest in Hayden Rucci.
Talk. Yeah.
I played with his dad, and I played at Penn State together. So I was happy to see him down here, and I hope he gets a shot. You know, we got, you know, getting Jonnu Smith, and of course Durham Smythe is already on the roster. I love Julian Hill. We get, you know, Fortson, and I think we got as well. But I love Hayden Rucci. I know his dad was a big mauler. So it'd be great to see him get an opportunity. Of course, might start off on teams, but when you're sitting there, you know, 6'5", 250 or so, I think he's going to get an opportunity to see what he can do. And being a Wisconsin guy, coming from Wisconsin, I think that the blocking is going to be part of what we're looking for at a tight end, because they have no choice but to block coming out of Wisconsin.
That was literally – we didn't play this, folks. Swear to God. This was a surprise. This is one of my top three undrafteds that I think has a shot because of that fact. When you're a tight end from Wisconsin who leads the position group in receptions as a senior with 11, that's not his fault. That's the offense. That's right. That's the job. But it tells me, much like a Durham Smythe, when the number's called, he's going to answer. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to do his job. He's got a third-generation NFL pedigree. You said you played with his father. So I love it. That's a name to look for. Thank you, Drews, for that. Segues to that number talk. You know, 81, you stuck with 81 your whole career. What are your thoughts about the importance of a number? Because there was like 40 number changes this year, I feel like.
Yeah, well, it's changed a lot, man. I was just happy to get an 80 number when I first came out, because wide receivers had to wear 80s back then. You know, the guys that were in the teens, you know, in training camp and stuff, I mean, they were hoping to make the team. So the fact that they gave me an 80 number right away was great. Now, you know, you just don't know what position's wearing what anymore, man. I don't even know how. If I was reading defense, like back in the day, if I was reading defense, anybody as a 50 was a linebacker. You know, anybody in the 90s, probably some defensive ends, 70s or more interior guys. And it's a lot easier to read who's coming. You know, nowadays, I mean, it's got to be virtually impossible to realize this is a linebacker, he's a defensive end. If these two guys come, I'm running hot routes and things like that. So this numbers thing is crazy to me. But, you know, some guys like Chop, you know, got his number from Fergie, you know, and I'm happy he got his number, because that's one of the things you don't have to worry about. If you got the number you like, look, let me tell you this. When I went to Penn State, my first number was number 45, Sarnie. Yeah, I felt sloppy out there. I didn't feel like a wide receiver wearing that raggedy number, bro. So, you know, if my mind was right, when I got 24, which is my family number, that's when I think I started playing better. So hopefully these guys are happy with the numbers they have. I know the Washington guys, you know, they've got, you know, 82 and 83, which is good. It's good for wide receivers to rock 80 numbers. So I hope they're happy. And if they feel good about it, if not, and they can pony up some money and buy some number that they want.
Hey, you got to love it that Washington's are sequential, 82, 83, right? You know, in order. Exactly. Dealing. So I got to tell you, OJ, always a pleasure talking football with you. Thank you so much for your time. What are you doing these days? Where can people find you? And how excited are you for the schedule to come out overall?
Yeah, I'm excited. I got a little inside information on the schedule, but we'll all wait for tomorrow to get some, you know, some more details on what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, man, we just finished up our latest season with the Dolphins with the podcast, you know, Seth and I. And so we're looking forward to a new season. We just had Matt Moore on, as you know. We got a few guys that we're about to record in the next couple of weeks. And just, you know, kind of enjoying it until we get back to this grind. I'm ready for training camp already, man. I can't wait for our guys to get back on the field. I know they can wait, but I can't wait for those guys in a couple of months to be out there in that hot weather getting ready for another great season.
Thank you so much, my friend. 81, OJ McDuffie. Appreciate you, my dude.
Appreciate you, Sarns.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.